This is Game Time AM. Now, back to Brad Lee and Jeff Jones from St. Louis Game Time on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Game Time AM, and that music there is from Jeremy Boyer. It combines two things, the organ music from the Blues and the Urge, a St. Louis band that gets played every home game at the Scott Trade Center. So we heard the Urge a couple times.
And every morning on Game Time AM.
And every morning, because it's part of the opening of the show at dark and early at 5 a.m. I'm Brad, that's Jeff, Matt playing the music, spinning the tunes, what is it, on the ones and twos over there? Good morning, guys. So it's snowing. Hopefully the roads are not too bad. When I was driving in, they were not, but I was coming from the west. St. Charles County apparently takes care of the roads a little bit better than downtown St. Louis is what I'm hearing. So hopefully it's just kind of a pretty snow sticking to the grass and the trees and on the roof of your house and not on your road as you're trying to get to work this morning. Let's see. So we in the first hour, if you missed it, we'll have it up soon on InsideSTL.com. Pull down the radio show tab and you'll get to the Game Time page and all of our audio is there. If you want to go back and listen to our excellent conversation last Monday with Chris Zimmerman, CEO of the Blues, you could do that. You could listen to our Puck Daddy interview the first week of the show, get some deep callbacks. Hopefully we're going to have some really good interviews this week. At some point we're going to get Tony X on. We don't think we're going to get him today because he was tweeting like 4 hours ago and probably is not awake this hour to call in, but we'll have him soon. We're going to have one of the former people who played Louis. One of the Louis is going to come on and answer some questions about being Louis. Ryan Fagan from the Sporting News is going to talk NCAA tournament tomorrow. And we're working on a few other guests, including a filmmaker. And his film is actually, we've got some breaking news. Game Time AM has a sponsor. Breaking news there, Matt Davis. We have our first sponsor, so we'll get to that here in the 6 o'clock hour. So I think I talked about we were going to look at the standings and the schedule and maybe preview tonight's game. So the team left yesterday, as we talked about, confirmed on Twitter that they flew out to Los Angeles. They play tonight at 9 o'clock in L.A. I'm guessing it's going to be Jake Allen in goal.
I'm sure it will. I'm guessing we'll see Hutton either against Anaheim or San Jose.
So there's three games in 4 days, tonight in L.A., then Tuesday is off. So what's funny is, like we talked about last week, the schedule is not very kind in that they stay in the Los Angeles area / Orange County area, take a bus from Staples Center to near Honda Center, the pond, and they stay in L.A. for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, then they play Thursday in San Jose. So you go from Anaheim to San Jose Wednesday and Thursday. It would have been nice if maybe they played Monday, Tuesday, had that Wednesday off, and Thursday in San Jose. But, you play the schedule as it lays. So I think it'll be interesting to see how many points they get out of this three-game stretch. Six are on the board. Is three the goal?
I think the goal should be – well, the goal is six, right? Four is a success. Three is neutral.
Three is neutral. So it's not bad. It's not good.
Yeah.
They showed up
can't be annoyed at three.
This first game, though, is interesting in that it is against the Kings, who are still right behind them in the playoff standings. The Blues have played 67 games. The Kings have played 67 games. The Blues have 75 points. The Kings have 72 points.
So the Blues will still be in the playoffs tonight, no matter what.
They could get blown out in Los Angeles, which has been somewhat of an occurrence in recent seasons.
Yeah.
They've not had a ton of success in Staples Center against the Kings. So if they lose tonight, it's not the end of the world. They still would have a 1-point lead in the standings. They play the Ducks again. Maybe the Ducks might be in for a little bit of revenge from Friday night. And then they're up at San Jose where there's, the playoff series last year where the Blues were eliminated. So it'll be interesting to see, there's going to be some emotions with some of these games. I think all three could be pretty charged with some recent stuff, the standings, and then carry over from the playoffs, right?
Yeah, this is going to be a tough stretch for this team, and so they're going to have to show up. So wherever they can get the emotion from, then, hey, I'm all for it, because this is going to be the defining stretch of this season for this team. If they can get through this and they're still in reasonably good position, then they should probably not have much difficulty making the playoffs because you're looking at six games against Arizona and Colorado.
Yeah, because the rest of the schedule, the rest of this month is interesting. They have three games against Arizona, two games against Colorado just this month. So after this three-game stretch, there's 2, 4, 6, 7 games, and four of them are against either Colorado or Arizona, the two worst teams in the Western Conference.
Right.
The only other games outside of that, Vancouver, who's out of the playoffs, and then the red-hot Calgary Flames, which is just kind of weird.
Led by
Brian Elliott.
Who, lo and behold, it's March, and he can't give up any goals.
9-0-1 in their last 10 games.
That is insane. For a Calgary team who, you know, the first part of the season, they couldn't buy a win. Brian Elliott lost the starting job, and now he's turning around. I think he had back-to-back shutouts last week, right?
He did.
I bet he's going to be one of the three stars announced in the NHL today. So that's on the schedule for next week. So
Calgary's really, also in the +3 goal differential stat now.
That's not bad. And they were in the negatives
They
all
were way
season.
Negative.
Yeah, so they really have turned it around. So let's look at the standings for a second. So the Blues are still in the second wildcard spot, 8th in the Western Conference with 75 points. 4 points ahead is Edmonton, which, you know, was kind of comfortable for a long stretch of the season in that top three in the Pacific Division. But they've fallen behind Calgary now. Calgary has 80 and Edmonton has 79. And they both have played 68 games. So the Blues have a game in hand. I know on TMA you're not
they
supposed
do.
To say that.
That's okay. We like games in hand.
Game in hand is always good. It's worth more than two in the bush, I guess. So one game in hand on Edmonton. They are 4 points back. So, you know, we've kind of been saying that if they're going to make the playoffs, they're going to make the eighth seed. But
right.
That schedule, who knows? Maybe they could sneak up to that second wild card spot.
They're
only 2 points behind Nashville,
right,
and would be safe in the top three in the Central Division.
And that is the way that it appears to be trending. I really think that they're catching up on Nashville, and you know it is reasonable to me to suggest that they would be trending toward catching Nashville. I think that the team is playing well enough, and if they get through this week with that sort of strength in play, then they should be able to catch up.
Well, Matt Davis mentioned the last 10 for Calgary, 9-0-1. The Blues in their last 10 are 5-5, which is not exactly setting the world on fire, but you got to remember that still has some carryover from that 5-game losing streak.
Right. So they were 1-5 before this 4-game winning streak.
Yeah. So they've really turned it around. The Nashville Predators, who the Blues are trying to catch in the playoff standings, are 5-2-3. So 3 charity points, 5 wins, 2 regulation losses for Nashville in their last 10. Their last game was Saturday. They beat San Jose 3-1. Their next game is today versus Winnipeg. So we'll see the Blues and Kings. The Blues in Nashville are playing tonight. The Blues will know the outcome of that before their game starts, or maybe early in their game starts, if they're watching the scoreboard. Do you think teams are actually watching the scoreboard right now? We still have about a month left in the season.
I think so, because as you know, a month in time, sure, but as the games dwindle, they become increasingly important. And well, okay, so they don't. Again, 2 points in October count the same as 2 points
right.
in April, but they feel like they count for more now. So as the games are dwindling, there is more attention being paid.
I was kind of snotty on Twitter on Friday night because people were calling the win against Anaheim was a big win. And I said, oh, I didn't really realize that was more important than the other 81 on the schedule.
Right. And that is the trap I think that we frequently fall into, is that these late season games get the additional attention and we sort of, you know, shrug off a Tuesday night stinker against Winnipeg. But that's 2 points also.
Let's be honest, though. The uneven play in December and January is how the Blues have gotten into this situation
right.
where they're not going to be able to catch Minnesota or Chicago for home ice advantage in the first round. It's how Ken Hitchcock got fired. It's how they've gotten to this point where they're in the last playoff spot. And if they stumble, if they have some injuries, if they stumble, if the goaltending falls off a cliff again for no reason whatsoever, which happened earlier this year, then they could be looking at the playoffs from the outside in the ninth spot. So,
and that's the thing. You can analyze all you want. The goalies were bad for a month and a half, and now the team is struggling to make the playoffs. That's it. I mean, that's it. That's what it boils down to.
And the team defense and scoring. You know, yeah. It's been at one point, I don't think you could say.
At one point, each of the pieces have fallen down.
No aspect of the Blues game has been solid all the way to this point. Some aspect has fallen onto hard times and really brought the whole team down. And it's just a matter of what's going to go wrong next, I think. So,
right.
Which I think makes people a little wary to believe that this four-game winning streak is really real and that they won't reel off three or four straight losses right now.
Well, because they're sort of on a knife edge here. Like we talked about, Jake was fine Friday, but not outstanding. And Hutton was passable Saturday, but played like a backup. And so the team is not going to score four on back-to-back nights that often. That's just not the kind of offense they have. The third line is generally a mess, kind of all over the place at this point. So,
you mentioned Jake Allen. Do we want to get to one of our recurring segments now instead of waiting later in the hour?
We certainly could.
Well, Matt Davis, why don't we cue up what we play when it is time for the Bad Blues Lounge Post of the Day?
You will never find a more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
That is the Blues Lounge, and it's time for our Bad Blues Lounge Post of the Day with the Benny Hill music in the background. I love how that comes off. So Friday night, the Blues are playing Anaheim, and a guy named Roger posts in the Blues Lounge, "Welp, W-E-L-P, welp, I hate to say it, but Allen is back to his self tonight. Bwahahahaha." That's the level of analysis there. That's the entire post.
He doesn't sound like he hates it.
That's a horrible take.
Yeah, that's a horrible. They Blues won, and Jake Allen didn't have a bad game. And, you know, he lets in one goal, and people run to Facebook. The Jake Allen, he's the reason that the Blues are going to miss the playoffs. He stinks. He's going to have a contract extension after this year. What were they thinking? Fire Armstrong.
Yeah.
You know, one goal, and people are ready to jump off the Eads Bridge into the Mississippi River.
I'll say this in full disclosure. A weekend of January, I was looking around for ways out of that deal too.
Well, yeah, but they won the game and he actually played well. And Bad Blues Lounge segment of the day, we're trying to illustrate that people on Facebook sometimes lose their dang minds. And the Bad Blues Lounge post today is the perfect example of that.
Right.
And we have to reiterate, we can't actually see the Bad Blues Lounge post today. We have to have spies on the inside. Viva la resistance. Sending us screen grabs of the worst Blues Lounge post. Now, we got to thank our spies for getting that out across enemy lines into the hands of Game Time AM to
it's
continue
kind of,
it.
It was is it Number the Stars, the book, the Nazi book for kids, where there's the little girl who's got the
Nazi book for kids.
Yeah, it's about the occupation in Denmark, and there's a little girl, and her uncle is a leader of the resistance, and there's a scene where she's got like a little packet with a handkerchief that throws off the Nazi dogs. And
it never fails. At least one point in our show, we stray off into some weird tangent that I never expected. And the words put into the phrase, the Nazi kids book, I don't think I've ever said in my entire life. Did not expect that to come up. So yeah, you're totally right.
Lois Lowry. Now I'm going to Wikipedia. It's called Number. It's called Number the Stars. I'm almost positive.
All right. Well, I'll take your word for it. I'm not exactly an expert on Nazi children's literature.
100% correct of that, by the way.
All right. Good job. You're going to earn. There you go.
The handkerchief in the package contained the scent of rabbit blood, which attracted the dogs, and the strong odor of cocaine, which numbs their noses, preventing them from tracking down the Jews in Henrik's boat.
You're going to earn a third star of the show for that.
Pretty genius.
It's a good book. Right?
Spoiler alert, your third star.
A handkerchief with rabbit's blood and cocaine? That's a handkerchief.
I don't know where to go from that. So let's keep talking about the schedule. I should have probably pulled up the record in L.A. recently. What was it? They went like, what, 5 or 6 years without a win in Los Angeles against the Kings? So I know that, you know, they're not the Kings of of recent vintage, you know, getting the eighth seed and
winning
the Stanley Cup.
As I was pulling up the roster report from that game against Washington where Shattenkirk got suspended, there are some names on that roster where you look at it and you go, who the hell is that guy?
Shoot me some names. Who am I not going to recognize tonight?
We can start with Kevin Gravel.
Yeah.
As I go back to the roster report here. Andy Andreoff is a name. Yeah, that was a name that I've seen before.
He was just acquired in a trade, wasn't he?
He's been in the Kings organization for a while.
Okay.
Nick Dowd.
Who?
Paul Ledoux.
Ah, Paul Ledoux.
Adrian Kempe.
Wait. Paul Ledoux, is he any relation to Tony Doe on the fan page?
He might be.
Okay. He's the French cousin.
Yeah. Derek Forbort is a guy who has been a prospect for them for a while, who was who was making an appearance.
Do they still have Dustin Brown?
They do still have... Of course they still have Dustin Brown because that contract is going nowhere.
It's like for like the rest of this decade, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a horrible decision on their part.
That is one of those David Backus deals that people are glad they didn't sign.
Yeah. Who's going to play in net tonight, do you think? Who played in the game Saturday?
The game Saturday was Jonathan Quick.
So he's coming back from injury. He's been playing, but they did get the insurance in goaltender with trading for Ben Bishop from Tampa Bay. So they technically could trot out an NHL starter any given night, whether Quick is ready to go or if he needs some time to recover and make sure he's not injured when they are trying to make the playoffs here, if they make the playoffs. Jonathan Quick is kind of a, I don't know, he seems to play his best games against St. Louis, right?
He does. Granted, some of that is going to be selection bias because we've seen him in the playoffs so often when he's played so well, and those definitely stick out because it is more painful to lose the playoff games.
It's kind of like when you see Corey Crawford on a regular season game, you're like, that guy is not that good. Oh, wait,
right.
He keeps beating the Blues in the playoffs, except last year.
Ben Bishop has played two games for the LA Kings since the trade, and he's given up 6 goals for a 3.02 goals against average.
That's
8.82 save percentage.
That's not lighting the world on fire for sure.
No.
He's never really, he's before this season when he was splitting time with Vasilevsky in Tampa, he's never really been in a situation where he wasn't the starter since he got established, right? After he was traded from Ottawa to Tampa, he's been the guy, and some guys don't adjust well to that role.
So it'll be interesting to see who's in net. I think it'll be interesting to see how the Blues, they haven't gotten a lot of time to get acclimated to the time change flying to the West Coast. Maybe going out there right after daylight savings time helps them because it only feels like
one hour,
right?
And maybe it helps that they were there on a Sunday night and not like a Friday night.
Or a Saturday?
Yeah. Granted,
are you saying the nightlife was quiet in Los Angeles on Sunday
night? It's L.A. Yeah, there's stuff to do pretty much anytime. But
we already ruled out there's no Lumineers concert in
there is,
L.A.
Yeah, the Lumineers are not in Los Angeles.
They're on the road.
There was a women's gymnastics meet, I think, and that was about the only interesting thing.
We didn't really find any other concerts or. I'm sure, you go down to this.
Again, it's L.A. Like, there are things for you to do.
Go down to the Whiskey a Go-Go and have a good time.
Is that still open?
I don't know. I'm just making... it's been a while since I was in Southern California, and it's been even longer that I've seen sampled the nightlife of Southern California.
I will say, it was actually just about a year ago to the day. I did like 3 weeks in L.A. Last spring. And
3 weeks?
Yeah, I was there. So I had a family... Well, I had a family obligation in San Diego, and then I had a speech and debate obligation in Los Angeles for 2 weeks following that. And so I had like 5 intervening days where I stayed in an Airbnb, like 2 blocks from where OJ killed those people, in a very nice neighborhood.
You
like,
forgot to say allegedly.
No, I didn't. He's in jail. He's not listening.
They could stream in
that's
jail.
At
not
Love
that
Lock
would
Correctional
be,
Center. Yeah. But it
he's
was,
gonna, he's going to get out of jail this year, by the way.
He's up for, I don't think he's getting out. He's up
getting
for parole.
Out. He's getting out. I think he's getting out. Because the parole board's going to realize that it was all over. He threatened some people with a gun over an autographed thing that he autographed, right?
Yeah, so, but here's the... But there, he's
why,
still,
how did we get
he's
on
still
OJ?
I don't know. Because I was in Los Angeles and I stayed in the neighborhood. The
we,
point
we
is...
We should take ADD medicine.
The point is, I spent one night out there in a bar on Sunset, like with the windows open, and it was 70 degrees, and it was...
It wasn't snowing.
I was thinking about that this morning as I was driving in here. I was like, man, like there was one night where I was out there and the Airbnb. The apartment that I rented was from a gentleman who played for Boise State the year they had that giant upset over football? Oklahoma. Yeah, yeah, his jersey was framed and on the wall in the apartment. It was pretty cool.
Sweet.
But like there was a big LA thunderstorm, but it was this nice wood apartment. I had all the windows open. It was 70 degrees. Like no, but it was night. Like not like. Not, I didn't ruin his stuff. It was a nice kind of windows open and breezy. And,
gotcha.
By the way, from Lexington Steel.
Yes.
You guys named a bunch of young guys like Kempa, Dowd, Forboard, etc. Crazy concept in a cap era using young guys. Glad it took the Blues a Hitchcock firing for that to happen.
Well, but here's the thing. It's not like those guys are really... It's not like those guys have been highly, you know, they're not exactly at the top of the prospect list.
I mean,
right?
Some like Forboard is pretty high on the top of the list for the Kings. The other guy is probably a little bit less, but there is a point to be made. Now, look, the Blues do have their roster filled out with some of those younger, lower cost guys. But
if you look at the roster early in the season, they either had one or zero rookies on the roster much of the season.
Until Ivan Barbashev came up, they had not had a rookie score a point.
Well, and really, the only rookie that saw a game was Ty Ratty, and you know you could say he's a rookie or not at this point.
There was one other rookie who saw a game before the Barbashev recall.
Who's that?
Phoenix Copley.
Oh, that's true.
Phoenix Copley.
That Winnipeg
game. You're right, yeah. Had the shooting gallery game in Winnipeg.
That was horrible. So here's the thing with the Kings. They've gotten to the point where we mentioned the Dustin Brown contract. You know, Jonathan Quick has a huge contract. They're pretty top heavy. They're much more like the Blackhawks than the Blues in that they've put all their eggs in one basket with the Drew Doughty contract. You know, they give their salary cap money predominantly to their top level players, and then they have to make do with some guys making close to the league minimum to keep under the cap and stay competitive. And you see that they're in the ninth place in the Western Conference. So
our boy Lexington, by the way, is laughing at us because Adrian Kempa is a first round pick. But not an impact for it. He was a 29th overall first round pick who had 25 points in the AHL last year. This is not a guy who they're counting on to change their fortunes.
He better be careful about laughing. We could change his name in the text box.
That's true. That's a thing that happens now, by the way.
We don't. We've only changed one name, and it's not anyone that has...
Right. No one that anybody would miss. Well,
TMA, at least.
I changed my own name. Does that count?
What did you change your name to?
To my name.
What was it before?
Unnamed.
Wait, you went by unnamed system?
Because I never texted in, right. So I texted in something random. I had texted in to the line change the other day because Cam and Eric were talking about the possibility of Tage Thompson coming up to play as a black ace in the playoffs, which he can't do because he's on an ATO. His contract doesn't register until next season.
I my phone number is in the text box. Actually, I've texted into the line change too, and I have to sign it. Hey, it's Brad from Game Time AM. Here's what I think of what you're talking about. So maybe I should go in and change my name too. Maybe I could be somebody like Lexington Steel, somebody who's really prolific.
John Waters.
Who knows? You're listening to Game Time AM here on 590 The Fan, KFNS St. Louis, 105.7 HD2, streaming live at InsideSTL.com. I'm Brad. That's Jeff. That's Matt. Giggling over there on the other side of
the Clipper,
chuckling on the other side of the board.
The Clipper is blowing through here right now, by the way. So you did not need to have Matt go change the thermostat. No, I know he didn't change, but there was conversation about that. And
look at the clock on the wall; it is being buffeted in the wind of the air conditioning here in
the studio. The Wi-Fi sheet that's taped under the clock is blowing backward.
It's fun, you know. Here at the illustrious KFNS studios here in beautiful St. Charles, Missouri. It's either hot or cold in the studio. There is no middle ground. So that's usually when we start the show, it's cold. And then the three of us heavy breathers are in here and it warms up and then the air conditioning kicks on and it gets it chilled to a colder temperature before TMA comes
but you
in
know,
with all their warm bodies.
The soundproofing is good. So for all we've heard about the old paper mache palace on Hampton, it is soundproof in here.
The paper mache palace. Oh. That is a fun
one. Not reference. A fan, Matt Davis?
I don't miss that place, no.
Now, did you work at the place off Forest Park Parkway?
No.
That place was kind of... You see lots of pictures on the fan page of the guys doing the radio show the morning after. And there's the table is up against the window, and the producer was like right over your shoulder. And it was kind of hard to get to, but that place was okay. It wasn't paper mache like, I guess, the old place on Hampton. Of course, they're building the new 590 The Fan, KFNS Studios, overlooking the Kirkwood Brew House.
Yeah.
Supposedly that's going to be ready in May.
I will say when that happens and the change, I am going to miss the sort of layout we have now because we have Seymour hiding in his enclave over here to the right, and we always have Plowsy out in the morning over to the left, out to the front desk there.
And there's the table outside the sliding glass door where people gather waiting to come in and take our spot, hoping that we're just going to end the show early and they can come on and take our microphone.
I don't think that's what they're hoping for. I think that they're hoping that we forget that they're on after us and we go for another hour or something.
Well, but then they got up early for nothing and drove to St. Charles. I am not going to like the drive to Kirkwood because it only takes me about 15 minutes to get here.
Yeah, it's going to be I'm not going to mind it. The drive from the city to Kirkwood is going to be a lot better.
Yeah, it's going to be better for my drive as well, so I'm looking forward to it.
You people live on the wrong side of the river, apparently.
The wrong side of the river.
I live in Missouri.
I like that you say the Missouri River is the river. The Mississippi River is the river. The Missouri River is just a thing that exists.
Not if you live in St. Charles
when
County.
When you say the river, that's the Mississippi, not the Missouri.
I didn't even think of the Missouri when he said that.
The river
I was like,
is the
I'm
Mississippi.
I'm not from Illinois. What are you talking about?
But think about this, though. I mean, now we have the Page Extension, which opened in, 2002?
And I have no idea because I'd never driven on it until I started coming here.
Right.
But until then, we only had two real bridges. Now we have three. So, but if they're like last week, there was a big accident in Chesterfield Valley that closed Highway 40. So people tried to use the other bridges and they were all at a standstill. So it was almost impossible to get to work on time last week if you lived in St. Charles County because we have so few bridges to get over the river.
Then if you don't, don't live in St. Charles County. Live inside 270. The world ends at 270. We are now beyond the edge of the map. I feel like I am in like the lost colony of Roanoke every time I'm out here.
Here is how west oriented I am. So my personal email has my name and it has an area code in the name because someone else had already taken my name as a Gmail account. And so the area code that's in my name isn't 314, it's 636.
I was about to ask if it was 573.
No,
if we were that far out west.
Oh, we have friends that say that Fallon, we live in a suburb of Columbia, which is not true at all. But if you live in Brentwood or in the city, I guess you could say that.
How much longer is the drive to Columbia from your house than the drive to O'Fallon, Illinois?
It's probably negligible.
It's the same distance, right? We're talking about 50 miles either way.
No, it's not 50 miles. But, I mean, I've been able to haul butt and make Columbia in about an hour from my house, and it takes me probably a little under an hour to get to O'Fallon, Illinois.
Right.
But it's closer, but there's a lot more people in the way. So that's your traffic report here on 590 The Fan KFNS.
I can
game time AM.
I can say that at least one member of the TMA cast of thousands has made it in already. Somebody, the cat was
Geneseo
responsible
State.
In fighting over the traffic. It's that upstate New York snow skill that he learned.
He's
I'm
wearing
sure.
the Geneseo State hat.
Geneseo lacrosse,
yeah. So what do we want to talk about here the last half hour? We need to get to our sponsor. Why don't we do that first? So we have our first sponsor here on Game Time AM, and just like with the fan-run paper that we sell outside every Blues home game and our website and the Beyond Checker Dome podcast and everything else we do, it's not the most conventional thing, but it's how we kind of do things. So our first sponsor is actually a movie. I'm as surprised as you are. It's called The California Golden Seal Story, and it's a new movie only out on iTunes that Blues fans might want to check out. Now, when the Blues came into the NHL in 1967, there were a number of teams. There was Pittsburgh, there was Philadelphia, Minnesota, Los Angeles, and the California Seals, also known as the Oakland Seals, the California Golden Seals. They were the poster child for a dysfunctional sports franchise, a team where anything that could go wrong did go wrong. Bizarre and crazy history includes everything from white ice skates and orange pucks. Sounds like they're playing street hockey. To an out-of-control owner and horrible trades. There was a tragic on-ice death. Future superstars that slipped through their fingers. So there's a new movie, California Golden Seal Story, only on iTunes. It has lots of interesting interviews, including Wayne Gretzky. If you love hockey history, if you love the game, you should watch California Golden Seal Story, now available only on iTunes. And thank you to the movie for... there's an investor in the movie who is in the St. Louis area and listens to the show. And we want to thank him for sponsoring the show and having a live read here on the show. And to talk more about that, I think later in the week or maybe next week, we're going to have the filmmaker who created the film, California Golden Seal Story on iTunes. We're going to have him on the show talking about the process and a little bit about the history of that and why the heck that there's a commercial on Game Time AM about a movie about a hockey team in California that no longer exists.
Do you know who owned the California Golden Seals?
I have not done my research.
Who owned a gentleman named Charlie Finley, who also owned the Oakland A's in the 70s.
And no wonder they had white skates and orange pucks.
Yes, indeed.
Because his Oakland A's at one time wore shorts, right? And
they
talked about orange baseballs.
The marketing portion of Charlie Finley's Wikipedia page here, they did indeed have orange baseballs.
That's crazy.
Hitters found it hard to pick up the spin. We had a mechanical rabbit that would pop up behind home plate and deliver new balls to the umpire that was named Harvey. Players were paid $300 to grow mustaches during the playoffs.
That's how Raleigh Fingers grew his handlebar mustache.
And perhaps most importantly, he hired a teenager to be the executive vice president of the Oakland A's, to be the eyes and ears in the clubhouse, a gentleman named Stanley Burrell,
who later was known as
MC Hammer.
That is awesome. So yeah, that shows you. So he was that crazy with baseball. He had to be that crazy with hockey too. Orange pucks. He must have had a thing for orange or something.
Maybe
he had a small TV and he never could see the puck. And he thought, well, maybe if the puck was orange, maybe if the puck was glowing,
right,
I could see it better.
Do we think that Andy Murray had a brief period of living in Oakland in the 70s, and that's why he was so anti-white skates
when David Perron got here? I don't know. There is that story that David Perron had white skates when he showed up in St. Louis for his first training camp after he was drafted, and he had to take black magic marker or Sharpie to make his skates black. That was a strange time in Blues history, really. Glad we're past that, hopefully. So you're listening to Game Time AM here on 590 The Fan, KFNS in St. Louis, 105.7 HD2, InsideSCL.com. I'm Brad, that's Jeff, that's Matt. God, it's just a mouthful to reset the show, and maybe that's why we avoid it, but we're getting better at doing that. We're in our fourth week of existence here on 590 The Fan.
And you can reach us at 855-282-8255. 855-282 Stanford Perego.
Yeah, Stanford Perego. You could also tweet to us at @SCLewisGameTime or text in at the same number that Jeff just mentioned.
We need contact. Pressure. I'm putting pressure on people. Pressure.
So one thing I hope you're doing, I hope, if you're listening to your radio, that's cool. If you're streaming live, that's awesome. If you are listening later via podcast, that is amazing. You know, we're going to have a contest here soon to have a drawing for folks, encouraging them to subscribe to the podcast either on iTunes or one of the Android apps like TuneIn or Stitcher.
Or even the Google Play Store, I believe.
Even the Google Play Store. If you search Game Time, two words, Game and then Time and then AM, you'll find us. Our names are on there. There's our logo for the show. And you can subscribe to the podcast. If you subscribe to the podcast soon and you email us, and you know what, post-show meeting, we probably should start our own Gmail account for the radio show.
Yeah, probably.
Because I get a lot of stuff in the mailbox for the paper that we put together and the website and yada, yada, yada. We really need a radio show email so that if people send us stuff, it doesn't get lost in the
shuffle. Yeah, because I also now have a little split off folder in my own Gmail box of radio stuff.
Yeah.
That is mostly from you and Matt and then the occasional guest.
So we'll start the Game Time email, the Game Time AM email before we start this contest. But there's a local artist, Steve Walden. Maybe you've noticed his paintings. He has kind of an artistic take on St. Louis sports, doing Cardinal paintings with Yadier Molina and Adam Wainwright. He's done some paintings about the Blues with Brett Hull, Tony Twist. He has a famous, kind of famous painting that has the Ryan Reeves blowing a kiss to the Dallas Stars bench in the playoffs last year. That's really cool. His paintings are actually in 3D, so they like literally pop off the canvas. And he's going to make a couple of, he's finishing up a painting of the Winter Classic at Busch Stadium this year with the Blues and Blackhawks. It's really nice. I've sent you the photo of in progress. So hopefully that's going to be finished soon. He's going to be in studio showing off a couple of his paintings, and we'll have photos on Facebook and Twitter. And I think we'll do Facebook Live when he's in here, and we'll talk about how he's become a hockey fan and his work. And then we're going to make a couple of prints of his work as part of a couple giveaways, a contest. The contest for our side of it is going to be folks who take a screen grab of being subscribed to the podcast on iTunes or any of the other ways to get the podcast. If you subscribe and send us that, you'll be entered in a drawing for a print of one of his hockey paintings, and that's going to be awesome. There's also going to be a second drawing if you sign up for Steve's email list. So two chances to win, two awesome prizes. So we're going to have that here very soon. So we'll have Steve Walden in studio to talk about that, show off his work, and then kind of talk about the timeline of the giveaway. So save some trouble now. Sign up to the iTunes or whatever podcast and start downloading it and listening at your leisure and be entered in two cool drawings.
And if you listen, you can learn fun facts.
Such as?
Charlie Finley lived in LaPorte, Indiana while he owned the Oakland A's.
Why?
I don't know. He was from there.
Okay. That's kind of weird. Kind of random.
That's why he had to hire Hammer. He needed someone local to keep an eye on the team.
So what's interesting, I think, two Fridays ago, I had a poll after the Blues got really blown out of the water in Winnipeg. I know it was 3-0 and two of the goals were empty netters, but it just didn't seem like a competitive game to my estimation in Winnipeg. I put a poll up on Twitter that said, hey, right now, what do you think? Do the Blues make the playoffs? And it was about 70% no. So after the game Friday night against Anaheim, I put up another poll, and I am scrolling through trying to get it. It was, first of all, it started off as 70% yes, the Blues are definitely making the playoffs. And then as more people saw it, the numbers started coming down, and the last number I saw was about 60% that the Blues would make the playoffs. What do you put it? What do you think the chances are the Blues make the playoffs? While I find our here right now, yeah, 72% of folks, and we had 260 voters. I didn't push it on Twitter as much because we were busy making the paper and there was a game on Saturday. So maybe we'll do it again this week. 72% of people said yes, the Blues make the playoffs. So it was completely 180 degree difference. I think it was 73% said no. A week later, 72% of people said yes, the Blues make the playoffs. Are we that bipolar?
Well, yeah, Blues fans are definitely that bipolar. My answer remains, ask me after the week. Because if they go 0-3 on this road trip and they get no points out of it, they're probably going to be behind the Kings by the end of the week. And then, you know, look, it's a lot easier. It's a lot easier to be chased than to do the chasing.
Yeah, that's true. But I'm going to click on the Kings schedule here real quick. I know it has to be harder than the Blues because they're not going to
have... Well, the Blues have the easiest schedule remaining of anyone. That's,
right.
I mean, right.
So we're gonna see who else the Kings play. So after tonight, the Blues are at Staples Center. They host Arizona tomorrow night. So there's a potential 3 or 4 point spike for the Kings. Then they have Buffalo. Then they go on the road at Red Hot Calgary, at Oilers, who are ahead of them in the standings. Then they're home again for Winnipeg, the Rangers. They go on the road at Edmonton again, at Calgary again, at Vancouver to finish out the month.
So aside from Vancouver, none of those games are particularly pushovery.
Arizona, Vancouver are probably easy games. Maybe Buffalo, but the Rangers are going to be tough. Winnipeg's going to be tough. The Oilers and two against the Oilers, two against the Flames.
Well, because the Oilers and Flames are also still trying to fight them off as well. Like,
right.
The Kings are technically out of the playoffs right now, but look, I mean. You don't. That's a team that everyone is going to be nervous about until they're mathematically eliminated
because of the history of them
right.
coming from.
So if you're in their division, you're gonna have an eye on them for sure.
So yeah, so they've got a lot of division games coming up. So it should be interesting to see how they deal with the Blues and then the rest of their schedule the rest of this month. So I think it's fair to say this is the make or break week for the St. Louis Blues, even if they go 0-3 on this. The first part of this road trip and get a win on Saturday against Arizona, they could still be right in the mix, obviously.
Yeah, they could still be right in the mix, but
it would be much, they'd have a lot more breathing room if they get 3 or 4 points in the next three games.
They need to get of these next, yes, 3 points of these next three games for sure. On the road trip, they probably need to get seven points in five games.
So a win against Arizona. And then
a win against Arizona. Three or four
more points.
I mean, right? Yeah, yeah. That needs to happen. Right.
Three games in 4 days. So how are we gonna handle this? So the games start at 9 o'clock on Monday and Wednesday. We're in here at 5 a.m. dark and early.
Well, and as I look at this, Wednesday's game is an NBCSN game, so as it's listed at 9, the puck's going to go down at like 9:20.
Yeah, oh, man. That's some good reporting. We're digging to the bottom of things. Yeah, I agree. It is going to be a later start. So Thursday, we might be a little groggy here at Game Time AM. Here at 5 a.m. So
I won't be, but I will need your guys' best recap.
Because you're not going to watch the game.
I'm not going to watch the game. No, I'll be passed out by then.
I'll tell you what.
Against my will.
Spring forward is killing me right now. I am grateful that I am not a person who sleeps through my alarm. Like, I am up with my alarm. But we talked about this last week. I usually don't hear my alarm. I'm usually up 5 minutes beforehand because my body knows it's time to get up. But I was up with the alarm this morning. But yeah, the body clock is not operating.
See, I didn't hear my alarm at all this morning. My wife had to wake me up, and my alarm had been going off for about 10 minutes.
Oh, yeah. See,
so you're saying that you're afraid of sleeping through the alarm. I actually woke up in the middle of the night. You know, I'm in my 40s. I had to go to the bathroom. And it's pitch black, and I have no idea what time it is, and there's the time change, and I was kind of tired, and it's been a rough couple days with two Blues home games and all sorts of other stuff going on. And I woke up, and the first thought in my mind is, how much more time do I have before my alarm goes off? And I think it was about 2:30, and I said, oh, I still have some good sleep time before the alarm goes off at 4:10 a.m.
I had the similar thing where I rolled over and looked at the phone, and it was like 2:18.
Uh-huh.
But for me,
that's weird. We're waking up the same.
Yeah,
time.
It was a little odd. But for me, it was almost worse because then it was, okay, you have 2 more hours to sleep, and then I just laid there.
But 2 hours is awesome.
Yeah, but I didn't get the 2 hours because I laid in bed thinking.
Can't overthink it.
You have 2 hours to get to sleep. You have 2 hours to get to sleep, and then it took 20 more minutes to get back to bed.
See, usually when I wake up and see the clock, and I'm like, oh, I still have an hour and a half. I still have 2 hours. Those are the mornings I usually wake up late because I'm laying there. I'm like, all right, I'm going to get a good start to the day. It's going to be good, and the next thing I know, it's I'm late, and I'm like, oh, what happened?
All of a sudden, you're off your game.
Yeah. I would have been a valuable member of the team in Inception because I do not go through a sleep cue, like a kick, an alarm. I'm up. Like, I'm up and at it.
So you mentioned that you're in L.A. for a speech and debate thing. Yeah. So I spent some time at the NSDA, so the National Speech and Debate Association tournament here in St. Louis to qualify kids for nationals. And I did some judging on Friday. And my wife is actually an assistant coach at the Parkway West High School, their speech and debate team. They qualified. They had two kids who double qualified.
Ooh.
But they're going in public forum debate. So
Are you looking forward to a trip down to Huntsville this summer?
We're not going.
Or Birmingham, rather? No?
Since only two kids qualified, and it's an event that the head coach, Kara, has a lot of experience with, she's just going to take those two kids and judge Puff and have a good time. So, but I tell you what, I was a speech and debate nerd in high school. My wife was a speech and debate nerd in high school, also in college, which is totally another level, which you're familiar with.
Yeah.
You mentioned earlier.
That's a whole thing.
I did not have the temperament or the time to pursue that in as a collegiate debater. It is an awesome activity, and I saw some tremendous kids from the St. Louis area get up and make speeches and arguments and presentations, and it is so cool to see the kids. The level of expertise they have is 15, 16, 17, 18 years old. The poise they have with public speaking, and you know, you hear so many people say that public speaking is one of their worst fears. You know, we're here sitting talking on the radio. You know, we're in our little bubble here. We're just kind of having a conversation. We're making sure we're talking to the microphone. And we kind of forget the people on the other end of the audience.
Someone's listening?
Yeah, someone's listening. We get a text, and almost every time I'm like, wait, someone's listening. Holy crap. Or someone's podcasting later, right, and they're listening to us at 9 or 10 o'clock in the morning or on their drive home. With speech and debate, you've got people in the room staring at you in the face, taking notes and reacting to everything you're saying. I think the pressure is much more intense when you're talking to people in person. And as the rounds go, the crowds get bigger and the number of judges increases. And it really is cool to see the kids respond under pressure. And you know what? Growing up, I was painfully awkward. I'm probably still painfully awkward sometimes with people socially. But before I got into speech and debate, I would get nervous having a conversation with anybody. And after I did speech and debate for 3 years, I really learned to open up. And if I hadn't done that, there is no way I would be on the radio right now.
That would be. That's a good direction to push your kids. If you have kids that are like at junior high that are looking for a thing to do in high school, definitely a good direction to push them. Fun little connective trivia, by the way, as Iggy rolls in and the TMA cast continues to go. And by the way, it is pitch black outside still at 6:45,
which usually around this time you can see the building across the parking lot. I can barely see it.
Yeah. You were talking about the head coach at Parkway West. Her husband is a TMA texter of note.
He is. What does he have a name in the system?
Woods, I believe.
Woods is the he's probably Woods listening. So
hi, Nate.
We actually so I brought the kids over. We were at the awards assembly on Saturday at Pattonville High School for the debate tournament, and it was, you know, just try to show a little bit of support for, you know, I say that my wife supports my game time hobby and doing this radio show, and I support her hobby with speech and debate on the side and helping the future generation, the kids of today, the adults of tomorrow, with that kind of stuff. So that was kind of cool. So, but you know, that really took a lot of time on Friday, and I didn't get the paper started until super late. And Thursday night, I was making my chili for the kids to have on Friday, and that took some time. So really, like, Thursday, Friday, Saturday are still kind of a blur, and I'm glad that you were at the games on Friday and Saturday, because I know things that happen and I remember things that happen, but the clarity of my recollection is not super strong.
Yeah, you know, it would be nice if I had a more media-oriented perspective, perhaps, of the games on Friday and Saturday, but that's a, you know, I don't want to tongue that open wound. I got a whole thing going on there. Dr. Woody Bender texts in, by the way, to tell us that he is listening, but he's hoping to finish by the time the show is done.
Finish what? I don't finish listening. I don't know. We got about 5 minutes left here, so we'll kind of wrap up the show. By the way, on the Twitters, we have a friend from Baltimore. Brenna and her husband Ken were in town. We met them at the Winter Classic. They actually got a 12-game pack so that they would have access to Winter Classic tickets. They actually used the first tickets of their 12-game pack on Friday night and then stayed over and went to the game Saturday. Did you post-game or pre-game with them?
Both on both nights.
They're cool.
We had a good time.
What's really weird, so Ken's dad became a Cardinal fan because of KMOX. He could get KMOX in Maryland. And then when he got into hockey, he decided, well, I should just follow the Blues because they're in St. Louis with the Cardinals. And he's never actually lived in St. Louis and never has had a reason. And every time they visit now, they say St. Louis is such a great town. And I know he's trying to talk her into moving here. And his wife just tweeted at us that she's trying to be a more informed hockey fan. And she started listening to her first sports podcast, Us.
They were apparently driving through, I guess, Benton Park on Saturday morning, looking at the houses there and comparing how much house they could afford in Benton Park compared to house they could afford like in Baltimore.
Yeah, that's awesome. So look, if you're from St. Louis and you think, man, I wish I could live somewhere else, there are people in other parts of the country, in Baltimore, Maryland, which is a really nice place to live, saying, hey, we could move to St. Louis.
I have a friend up in Everett, Washington this morning who is streaming the old Game Time AM.
2 hours behind us. They're still screwed up.
It's an early work shift, I think.
I've been to Seattle, I think, 6 times. I used to work for this airplane company that's based up there. And I
never heard of it.
I got to go to Seattle several times. I've seen 2 games at Safeco with the Mariners. That place is amazing. That might be my favorite ballpark. I've been to Wrigley. I've been to about 10 baseball parks. That place is amazing.
I've not been inside of Safeco. I've driven past it. But the last time I was in Seattle, we drove past Safeco Field because we were going to the public market down there, the Pike Place Market. And as we drove past the outside of Safeco, they have these giant banners of the star players on the Mariners that were hanging outside.
Yeah.
And there was a damn 20-foot poster of Brendan Ryan hanging on the outside of Safeco Field.
That is funny.
You know you're desperate for stars then.
They're going to be better this year. You know, we're going to probably talk baseball here as the Blue season winds down at some point. We'll obviously be talking baseball. Tomorrow we're going to have Ryan Fagan on from the Sporting News talking NCAA brackets. Hey, should we have our own bracket contest? I know Inside SCL has one, and I'll be entering that one. I know on the fan page they're going to have one that you can pay money for. We could have a free one. Maybe we have one that gives away a subscription to Game Time next year, the paper that we sell.
That's your department. You can give away whatever you want.
So later today, watch on Twitter and Facebook. We will have Game Time AM, NCAA Bracketology, March Madness, whatever you want to call it, and we'll have a couple prizes. Maybe Maybe I'll dig into my basket of goodies. I've got some autographed pucks. Maybe I'll find.
Yeah, I got some stuff.
Yeah, we'll put some prizes together, and we can all be stupid trying to predict basketball games when we probably haven't watched college basketball at all.
Yeah. So yeah. while we're talking about listeners, by the way, my sister texts in to let me know that we also have a Blackhawks fan in Chicago who listens. A friend of hers that she went to school with that I know a little bit. She was in her wedding.
I'm sure, and we say nice things about the Blackhawks all the time, right?
Well, so here's the I told my sister, I said, good, when the Blues are playing the Blackhawks in the first round and we're doing our remotes from Chicago, we'll base them out of her apartment. Thanks for listening.
Awesome. Well, we'll say nice things about the Blackhawks if it gets us a place to sleep if we try to go on the road. That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
I will let you talk my wife into letting me go to Chicago, okay?
You don't think that your wife would be thrilled to let you go to Chicago to stay in a 25-year-old girl's apartment for a weekend?
So we'll have that conversation later. We need to wrap up the show. Why don't we talk about three stars? I've already named Jeff Jones third star for his knowledge of Nazi Germany children's literature.
It's called Number the Stars. It's a good book. If your child is 11, get them Number the Stars, make them read it, and then when they turn 14, put them in debate.
What was the deal with the handkerchief again?
So the handkerchief was dipped in rabbit's blood and cocaine because the dogs would sniff out four people hiding in secret crevices in vehicles and buildings, and so the rabbit's blood would attract them to the handkerchief, then the cocaine numbs the
nose. How'd they get cocaine?
It was the 40s. It was everywhere.
Yeah. If you're just turning your radio on to listen to TMA at 7 a.m. and you're hearing this talk, you should probably podcast and listen to the first part so you understand the conversation. There's a context for everything.
Poor Brenna, who is telling us that she's tweeting in to tell us that she's learning about sports while listening to this podcast, has now learned about cocaine handkerchiefs.
Hey,
which she may have already known about.
We have a wide spectrum of content here on Game Time AM, I got to tell you. Who's your second star there, Jeff Jones?
The second star of the morning, we might have some overlap, but I was going to go with Charlie Finley.
Charlie Finley,
who's been dead for 20 years, but yeah, there's good stories that come from Charlie Finley.
We'll be talking about our sponsor movie, Golden Seals, Story of the Golden Seals. We'll be talking about them the rest of the month, actually, talking to the filmmaker here soon. I'm going to go number one star. The Resistance, our spies in the Blues Lounge who are feeding us the worst posts of the worst from the Blues Lounge on Facebook because we can't see them because we've been banned. So our spies in the Blues Lounge, I got to give them number one star. We haven't named the Blues spies in the lounge yet, so this is their first time making the three stars.
There's gonna be a purge sooner or later.
See, but I didn't even say the first name of the person who sent me. We really are going on unnamed sources.
What's the Facebook equivalent of a handkerchief covered in rabbit's blood and cocaine?
The Blues Lounge, I would imagine.
Well, but the shield, right, that throws the Nazis off the scent that allows you to progress unimpeded.
I think it's the shield is Facebook accounts under two first names.
Yes. as we all know, if your Facebook account has two first names,
or named after an actor from Leave It to Beaver. Okay, I think we need to wrap it up. We got commercials, and we want to start TMA on time. So this has been Game Time AM here on 5-9 The Fan. Catch us on the podcast, on the audio, whatever. We'll be back tomorrow talking about the Kings game. We will stay up late so you don't have to here on Game Time AM.